Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Cultaholic Island, the home of Desert Island Graps. Every week we invite somebody from maybe the wrestling world, maybe from the outer reaches of said world, to talk about wrestling matches that they would watch while stranded on this metaphorical desert island. Joined today by somebody who has absolutely gone the distance, Iron Man match style through the world of YouTube, a retro gaming... the word icon is thrown around a lot. We'll throw it around here. Retro gaming icon. And he made the mistake of letting it slip that he's a bit of a wrestling fan. So, of course, I was going to pester him to join me on the island. It's Guru Larry. Hello, you.
Hello, me. Hello. I don't know if I've been called an icon. I've been called a cult a couple of times. That's what I think they said anyway. So
I'm pretty sure they called you a massive cult at the time. This is not so much an interview, it's a make good on behalf of WWE for the copyright strike that you had the other day.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Yeah, I lost a couple hundred quid out of that.
That sucked.
I know. So, yeah, so you can just go around taking people's videos and that. That's why I hate YouTube and that. You're just guilty until proven innocent. So,
like the whole system, and you've been a part of it for a long time now. I feel like more than ever it's a minefield.
Oh, it is. And it's worse. It's worse than minefield because they've changed where the mines are every day. So that's what it is. He's walking through a minefield where they change their mines every day.
So what was the process then? Because like, I'm mates with Matthew Gregg from Botchamania, and he
I love him. Yeah,
he loves the bones off of you as well, sir. So the feeling is mutual. You've come up in conversations with us on multiple occasions, and it's all love.
So we begin with that bastard, doesn't it?
No, it's all love.
Oh, okay. Oh, bless him. No, he's lovely. He's quite a fan of the old sort of Games Master and Games World. He had a big collection of their episodes on YouTube for a while as well. I don't know if they.
He's a retro geek as well, and I love him, and he's great. And we talk about you, but with all of that, like, I know that he has his own battles with YouTube on a seemingly daily basis. What's the process when you get that notification? Like, how do you go about fixing that and getting yourself back on a financial track?
Well, you don't. You have to wait for them. And if the divine gods allow you to have it back, your video and that. So it's a case of having to write to them, explain them what fair use is. I gave up doing the movie mistake series on YouTube because of that. I actually wrote to Universal once and told them, you know, it's fair use. I'm just making a commentary about the mistakes in the movie. And they told me that Steven Spielberg's above the law. Literally told me that. So you can't. Yeah, so we can claim it because it's a Steven Spielberg movie and he's above copyright law.
Steven Spielberg is Judge Dredd. I have the law.
Yeah. I have the law. Yeah.
Wow. And this is what you compete against. And this is forever the issue that when you're doing stuff like that. And you must. And you must keep doing it for the love, because how else would anybody continue to fight this system?
Exactly. It's an uphill battle. I mean, they've actually got companies now that do that copyright claim on behalf of other ones. There's a famous one, AdRev, for a third party. That's literally what they're called. And they've claimed one of my Drivergate video recently for the music.
You're kidding.
Stuff like that. Yeah, so they're literally parasites, companies just going around finding videos, actually finding people's videos to claim, and then taking a share of the ad revenue it would have made.
Is this just because there's not enough ambulances to chase anymore? Like, we have to find new ways of doing it?
Well, if they're welcome to left my fraction of a penny I make every month on it and that. So, so that's how much it makes. It's such an old video, but I'm so annoyed they've gone and done it.
Infuriating. Like that. But you do that for yours, it's a fraction of a penny. You do that for hundreds of others, then it probably makes them a sick amount of money.
I know a lot of people don't know the law as well, so they probably kowtow and sort of agree to it as well, ignore it.
Wild West. But,
you know, now always fight. You got nutters. I had somebody claim a video who claimed they owned the trademark to the word comedy.
No.
Yes. And it was a complete nutter. And he never accepted that he didn't and just let it expire in the end. And then he wrote an apology later. I was sorry.
What? I have to know what the apology said.
Well, he's just like, sorry. No, he apologised that he didn't check it before its time ran out.
I thought he apologised for trying to claim the word comedy.
No, he claimed he owned the trademark to the word comedy.
Wow.
So he claimed my video for that. So.
Was his name Malcolm Comedy?
He was literally a nutter, some nutter from America.
Amazing, amazing. It's
stupid that you can do that. I mean, YouTube obviously knows. Also, last year I had somebody take a video because they claimed there's a law on YouTube that if you're the first person to do a Let's Play on a game, you've got first dibs on it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Exactly. So nobody else can do the game because you did it first.
Oh, Christ. I didn't realise that YouTube ran under the laws of 1, 2, 3 back to base.
I know, and they wouldn't, and YouTube wouldn't let me contest it.
No.
I said, well, I had to find proof that they didn't own it. He's a 12-year-old kid. He doesn't own a multinational publishing company. Pretty obvious. Bloody Doogie Howser or something. But, so yeah, and they wouldn't do it. I had to argue with him, but he's committing perjury in the end. And he released it like that. That's how I got it out. That's how I got it released in the end. Because YouTube were absolutely useless.
Flipping it. You have to laugh, otherwise you cry.
I know, but like I said, it's just minefield of nutters claiming videos for any reason whatsoever. I mean, you've got nothing to do with mine. I mean, it's bad enough with artwork on the internet. People just kept clipping off the credit and that for using it. But no, it's a video. It's just, you can literally go on YouTube and just say that video is mine.
Oh, geez.
And they'll agree with it.
Exhausting.
And then you go for a mile of paperwork to prove that you didn't. I know, it is. I mean, luckily, I only get one of these once or twice a year, so because I'm quite clever. Luckily, I only talk about video games nobody gives a shit about anymore. So everybody owns and track the rights to it are dead or gone. So like that. So.
People will know you, of course, as the guy who only talks about games that quote Yanks can't wank.
And moans all the time apparently now. So.
And has a good old moan at the start of an interview.
Yes. I know.
Do you know what? That's quite nice.
I vented my spleen. Yes.
I like that you feel comfortable enough that you can spend the first 10 minutes going, and another thing, right? They're all dickheads.
They're all bastards. A lot of them.
But the reason we're here today, now people watching this, listening to this, they'd have heard interviews with you talking about retro games so many times, and I'm trying to avoid asking the same questions of you all the flipping time.
What's your favourite game?
Yeah, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you that. But I want to talk about wrestling, because you, sir, have a little fandom of wrestling from a few years ago, not so much these days, but a good decade or so under your belt as a wrestling fan, is that right?
That is, yes. In the old days and that, up to sort of around to sort of the Attitude era, I was really into wrestling and stuff like that. So basically the golden era, was it golden era and the new generation?
That's kind of it, yeah. Yes, leading into the Attitude era just shortly after that as well.
Yeah, the new generation, oh shit, we haven't got Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior anymore. What do we do? It's the generation.
It's the best era.
Yeah.
It is the best.
I just love the wacky characters from those days.
It's the era where like we are just scrabbling to find something that's catching light. It is somebody trying to frantically light a fire on a beach, and nothing striking. It's great. It's brilliant. A fun time, but we want to reflect on some of your memories, and we're going to ask you to pick three wrestling matches. So throughout the course of the interview, three wrestling matches that you would watch on desert, on this said desert island, whilst maybe you are trying to metaphorically light a fire. Your first match, Larry, what would you like it to be?
I think it would have to be the Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage retirement match of WrestleMania 7. And I think that was the first one that really got me excited about a wrestling match.
Now, you've let it slip before that you, the Ultimate Warrior was your guy.
Yes, I was banging the wrong ones, didn't I? who's your favourite wrestler? Is it racist? Yeah, what about it? Oh, Hulk Hogan. No, the other one. Oh, yes.
What do you mean you always back the wrong one, Channel Awesome's Guru Larry?
Yeah,
what do you mean you always back the wrong horse?
Video sponsored by Established Titles.
LGN's Guru Larry. But okay, away from the slightly controversial nature of his of Jim Hellwig's real life persona.
Yes.
Why Warrior? What was it that drew you in Warrior?
He was like a real life superhero, wasn't he? Really? I mean, he's like an over top character. He was like something out of a cartoon or a comic book, even with a nonsensical language either as well. He's been dubbed over. He's a Japanese character. He's been dubbed over by a madman. So.
They're the best. I often wonder, like, how much, if any, prep goes into Warrior promos, because they're either meticulously written or just off the cuff. There's no middle ground. They're not bullet pointed.
Winging it, yeah.
It's one or the other. But of all the matches that Warrior had, like why is the Savage one, you say, was what kind of clicked you over to wrestling?
I think it's the one that is most memorable for being the wrestling match I first remember getting really excited about. About, you know, he might retire and stuff.
So I get it.
So yeah, I mean, you know, so, you sort of almost believe it back then and stuff like that. So
what was it that drew you into like the wrestling beyond there? What made you stick around for so long?
I think it was Warrior again. He was quite, I mean, and ultimately he was a bit shit in the ring. I mean, he just ran about all over the bit and picked people up. So, I mean, he's only, if it wasn't for Andre the Giant, he'd probably be the worst WWF wrestler of all time.
When it comes to, like, when you watched the wrestling at that point, when you were watching Warrior throwing Savage around, did you have, like, many people around you that were wrestling fans as well?
I did. School friends, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, loads of school friends and that. I think everybody preferred Ultimate Warrior to Hogan. I think it's a bit, when you keep going about how great America is and that, you know, America's the best and that, to a kid in Britain, you know, it comes across as incredibly obnoxious, you know. So a lot of people didn't like, he's also sort of like an old bald granddad as well. He always looked like that. He's just playing a patriotic granddad from another country. And
it's like, funny how he's always looked old. Like, there's even like, here's Hogan in his 20s. Like, why does he still look like he's in his 60s?
Yeah.
He's a modern marvel.
He's like the Benson Button, isn't he? He does potentially reverse his back. Yeah.
When obviously your love is video games, it has been for the longest of times, that bleeds into wrestling video games as well. I know that in your collection you have a signed copy of WCW Wrestling signed by Road Warrior Animal as well.
Yes, I have. Yes,
that's a, now
when he was alive, as well, obviously.
I'd be surprised if he signed it after.
Yeah. So my question is legitimacy, right then. Yeah.
I'd be concerned if it was after. Yeah. But with...
out the Ouija board for it, that's what I did. Yes.
Is that how they sign it?
Yeah.
A. N. I. No disrespect to the Laurinaitis family. Of course. But with that was the WCW game. So how aware were you of WCW as a wrestling fan?
I used to watch on ITV. That's how I knew it, when sort of Disney had some stranglehold on it. And now I used to watch it on television like that, but I never actively watched WCW on television. I think ITV only put it on there because the WWF got so popular and Sky and that, and they weren't really doing the British stuff anymore. And it's like Big Daddy and stuff like that. So, yeah, so I think that was their impromptu trying to claw back them having a stupid notion of cancelling World of Wrestling, World of Sports. World of Sports, right there.
Was there rivalry at school with like WWF, WCW in that sense?
No, nobody watched WCW. No, look, it's like 100% WWF school. Everybody either had Sky or had a friend that tapes it off Sky for them and stuff like that. So that's what it was back then. So I mean, you watched it. You watched WCW because there was nothing else on telly, but you didn't actively watch it. And, you know, you didn't actually pursue the storyline, as it were. It was always the WWF was more present. And also, they had matches in the UK. I don't remember WCW doing UK matches back then.
Very rarely, very rarely. WWF, around the time that you would have been watching, they did, like, they had SummerSlam 92, which was in Wembley, which still kind of holds records to this day.
Yeah. Bulldog won, whether he wanted to or not.
It's a soundbite that lives on through the generations, that young lad.
It's a girl. It was a girl.
Oh, it was a girl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Check your pronouns now.
Oh, I feel,
it's just been cancelled.
I shall have a strong word with myself later.
Yeah.
the great story about that match, I don't know how much you know about that Bulldog and Bret Hart match. Was Bulldog turned up to the match, Lennox Lewis walking him to the ring, the whole pomp and circumstance behind him. Bulldog had been on the toot the night before.
Probably wasn't covered in white nose.
Almost that. They locked up in the centre of the ring, and the first thing that Bulldog said to Brett was, "Brett, I'm fucked." And Brett had to walk him through every pace of that match.
Oh,
and it's a wonderful little addition to that incredible homecoming story.
Brett is an incredibly professional wrestler.
He's the most professional of all the wrestlers.
Yeah.
What was the first wrestling game that you remember playing that kind of brought you
the first
with the fandom?
With a fandom, or the first game I actually bought in general.
With your wrestling fandom and video game fandom sort of crossing over, what was the first wrestling game that you remember?
I can't remember. Probably when I was on television on X League, I'd done a retrospective on WrestleFest. And there's not really much to talk about it, apart from most of the wrestlers are dead in it. So that was most of the... And it's even worse now. It's like a curse bin in that game.
I need to check the roster of WrestleFest. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Hang on, I'm gonna do a really. I'm gonna pull it up now. The roster of WrestleFest.
Yeah.
This is gonna be really sad, isn't it?
Basically, it's a giant obituary in digital form. So.
Okay. So, I mean, you're not. You're not far off, Larry. Okay, alive, dead, alive, dead. Alive, dead, dead, alive, dead, 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 dead. Oh, okay, there's a couple hanging in there.
So there's Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, one of the Demolitions still alive.
Oh, yeah, Hogan, Slaughter, Demolition, Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase. There's four. There's four that are still.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Everyone's still going.
Favorite Noel Edmonds lookalike is still alive. So.
The WrestleFest curse up there with the last of the summer wine curse that Richard Perry talks about a lot. Struck again, damn it. You mentioned X League there, and one of the things that I remember you were part of, you've been part of like video game media. Before YouTube was even a thing, man.
I know, yes. I used to haul myself out on anything with a screen.
Of course, the highlight being the picture of Shredder that you drew for the
Oh, bloody hell, that's really long.
For Andy Peters.
My friend stopped talking to me for a week after that.
Why?
He got so jealous.
And he
accused me of tracing it from a comic.
I was going to ask you.
It's true, I did, but...
Both cancelled now, Larry.
No, I sort of done it by. I winged it. I didn't trace it. I just done a It don't matter now. It's like 40 years ago.
He thinks the dust trace too much.
Yeah, yeah.
For those listening in the US, so there was this, you had kids' TV shows that had these incidental bits between them, which were from the broom cupboard.
Yeah, it was bumpers, yeah.
So like cool. Bumpers, weren't they? And it was Andy Peters, I believe, who did yours.
Andy Peters, yeah.
And they would, and you could send in artwork. And there was a very young Larry, a picture that he had drawn of Shredder before the Turtles cartoon started.
Yeah. I got an autographed picture of Andy Peters for that as well.
Oh, was Ed the Duck on it or not?
No, I thought that was Andy Craig. No, he was on it. Yeah, he was. No, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. He's too good for me.
Oh.
You know, wrapping these bloody hand puppies up their own arse.
Well, it's only fair.
Somebody else.
It's only fair, mate. Yeah. Was that your first time being mentioned on TV?
Yes. Outside of Crime Watch, yeah. So the Rotherham baby strangler, yeah.
No. Oh, it was you.
Yeah.
I thought I recognised the nose. and I'm trying to think the timeline of Guru Larry on TV. Is the next one where you do the thing with Violet Berlin?
Yes, head to head.
Head to head.
Then yes. And I lost it. I lost it because I don't like football games. And also, Super Kick's a pretty terrible game on the Mega Drive.
That was a dreadful game.
Yeah. But,
was Violet Berlin in the room with you?
She was sort of 20 feet away.
Right.
I could see her in the corner of my eye, but you're too busy looking at a 5-inch screen to play, you know, to actually do anything, to concentrate. And she used to talk to you in the early days as well, and that used to throw you off. So I think she got told off for talking to people all the time and that.
Because that's the bit I remember you talk. I remember, like, she would look down the clip online. She's looking down the lens of the camera going, oh, Sir Larry, oh, shit, at Superkick. And you were just concentrating on the game.
But
it was really discombobulated, wasn't it? Like, she wasn't talking to you.
I know. It's like when you're a kid playing a game and your mum comes in and starts talking to you. Playing! Don't talk to me like that!
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm going to probably say I was about as jealous as your mate when you drew Shredder. Because you got to do Games World on Sky One.
I applied about 3 times for that. So I only got lucky in the last one.
It was a piece of my childhood was that on a morning before school.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I think we're about the same age. So I think I was like, I want to do what these kids are doing. No, it was great. But like that whole experience. So basically the point I'm making is you've sort of been a part of this for the longest of times.
I know.
When did the thought process start coming in that actually this could be my job?
Well, nowhere really. I applied to a posting on a forum basically for do a game network, a show called Game Guru, which is where I get the Guru Larry name from. So there was years and years ago, there was a website called Brit Xbox, and some guy posted Would you like to do a live phone-in show and stuff like that? And everyone else has taken the mick out of him, you know, being seen. And so I seriously applied for it, and I got the job. So nice. That's it. That and nobody else turned up for it. So.
How weird. Like, you'd have thought there'd be kids that would be, or young adults that would be, like, champing at the bit to do that.
Yeah. My friend did apply in that, but he couldn't do it because he had other commitments in the end. So I was the only one who turned up to do it. So
they went, oh, you'll do that.
Yeah. And I couldn't, basically, they had a lot of live feed. I show you all the phone calls that are coming in asking for cheats and that. And it didn't work the first day. So I just made it up. The first episode, I just made up everybody ringing in asking for cheats. I just assumed what people would want.
I thought you made up the cheats.
No. They all worked. We used to go on a website called Game Facts, Game FAQs. You see? Mm. Yeah. And go on there. They're really good, they are. People using walkthroughs for like 30 years ago still work fine on there. That's a brilliant website.
I miss, there's a special energy to those days. I remember Game Guru, and I remember they did something similar through games, what I think it was called the Peat Parlor. And I remember that.
Oh,
and
yes.
It was just the idea of video games.
David Walliams was his first gig on there.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes.
The more you know. It's just dawning on me that was David Walliams.
Yeah. Get off my manor.
Bloody hell. Gosh. Video games have a lot to answer for.
He doesn't talk about it much in his autobiography, though, for some reason. Can't imagine why, but yeah.
And, you think he'd want to talk about a lot of other things at the moment, wouldn't you? He's in a bit of a hole.
Yeah, well, he could do with the work now, couldn't he? So there's only so many times gangster granny episodes appear on TV. So.
True or false, you and Wes nearly started YouTube.
I remember
watching something, and I believe it was you and Wes that said, we've got this great idea to make videos that people can watch on their phones.
Yeah, basically we were pitching it to people like Game and stuff like that, where you can put, there's like a code underneath the barcode, underneath the price tag and that. So people look at the video, the game being played on their phone and that, and have a quick review of it. And this is like 2004, 2005 and that, so there's no YouTube or anything like that. So that was that was quite a good idea. And we pitched it around. Game ended up letting us do videos on their gameplay.co.uk website. I don't know if you remember that site.
I do.
Yeah, they still have those massive discounts on games. That's why I least like them. And I used to get a free memory card, didn't you, of every PlayStation game? And so I got an entire drawer full of them from pre-order buying games from them.
Were they official ones or were they, game ones?
They're the gamester ones, the off-brand ones. And also a Nintendo 64 extension cable and that. It's like the most pointless thing ever because it's a mile long anyway, the Nintendo 64.
Were there ever any peripherals in the retro game world that enhanced the wrestling video games?
Well, Hulk Hogan did a Kinect wrestling game where you can pretend to slam people and that, or, you know, in your front room and stuff like that.
Did you ever play it?
No, apparently it was terrible. Well, I don't want to give Hulk Hogan any royalties now, do I?
Fair fight. Yeah. Well made. Because I was trying to wrap my brain as to whether or not there was any, and I don't think outside of what you said there with Kinect, I don't think there ever was.
Yeah, I can't theory of anything. I think it was all just joysticks, wasn't it, really? Joysticks and joypads for wrestling games.
Mm. We'll bring it back to wrestling with your second match for your island. So yeah. We've got Warrior and Savage from Mania 7. What was like your second one to be, Larry?
The most memorable one from the early days, and I don't know why, it's such a boring, terrible match that stuck in my head. It was an episode of WWF Superstars and Ted DiBiase lost to a jobber in it. I've never seen that before. But basically, Superstars always had these jobbers come and you knew they were going to lose every single time. They never even put up a fight. They got one or two hits in and then got lost. And Ted DiBiase had one against the guy and he lost.
Now, I think I found it, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
I think I found it.
Should I just say memorable?
I'm just going to check now and see whether he beats Chris Horn. I got excited because I typed into YouTube, Ted DiBiase loses to Jobber. And I thought I'd found it. Yeah. But alas, it didn't come up. That's a real shame. But I mean, it's funny how those random matches stay in your head, because Ted DiBiase was another one of your favorites, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I love Ted DiBiase. He really knew how to.
Quiet. I'm so sorry. Hello. I can't hear you.
Hello.
Hang on.
Hello. Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Larry, I can't hear you at all now.
Hello.
Unmute your speaker.
Hang on, let me...
Oh, yeah, you're back now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's weird. That
sorry
weird.
About that. Oh, yeah, yes. So Ted DiBiase was another one of your favourites, wasn't he?
He was, yes. I think he's a brilliant villain. He's a brilliant heel. He really knows how to do heat on people. How to create heat for the fans and stuff like that. And he's, like, one of my favourites back then.
So it caught you off guard when a jobber lad, like a wimpy, yeah, as we would call him, just gets... We called him wimpies in my house.
Oh, okay.
it was always like the scrawny lad that looked like he got ring attire from the lost property bin.
Okay. They did, didn't they?
They really did.
They did. And then again, one of my favourite jobbers was the Brooklyn Brawler. I loved him.
Oh, brilliant. Like a lifetime jobber.
Yeah, I know. He's like the most professional jobber of all time. And so I was gutted he never appeared in any video games.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't actually. That would have been a nice little nod to his success in losing consistently.
Didn't he play Doink at one point as well, the guy?
He played Doink. I believe he played Kim Chi, the slightly offensive manager of Kamala. I believe anybody that they needed potentially to wear a mask or some headgear, they get Lombardi in because he's a safe pair of hands.
Okay.
So he's earned his time over the years.
He's brilliant. Like I said, I love some of the jobbers, the characters they come up with, thinking they're going to be the big, I've got a great character. I'm going to come in and take the WWF by storm and that. And then again, they had a wrestling dentist. So
at the height of your love for wrestling, was there ever any flight of fancy about doing it yourself? And if so, what would your character have been?
Oh, yeah, we used to do it at school and stuff like that. I remember getting a kid at school, Daniel Loveday, his name was. I got him in a camel clutch and made his gums bleed. That's always been stuck in my head.
So were you the Iron Sheik at this point then, to his Bob Backlund?
I think so. Also, another kid at school, his finishing move was a headbutt. But he headbutted me with his nose once, and his nose just exploded.
Oh, so, God.
So he didn't know how to headbutt properly. Yeah, he headbutted me in. So I always remember Gino, his name was. Yeah, that was. But yeah, I don't know. I used to like playing as a warrior and stuff like that, even though, I'm a fat kid. Warrior. My finishing move was a Bundy bomb as well. That was...
I mean, that was technically Warrior's finishing move, so you're not a million miles away from it.
Yeah, I just sat on a kid until he stopped breathing. That was my finishing move until he cried.
Oh, I want to see that Larry Bundy top trump now.
Yeah.
Ability to make children cry, 10.
Also, remember we had a three-man tag match. We had a finishing move called the Crippler, where one of them does a camel clutch, the other one does a Boston Crab, and the other person just splashes on their back.
Oh God!
It was called the Crippler. Yeah.
How many hours in detention did you spend following the Crippler?
Luckily, we done it behind the tennis courts and that, so nobody could see us.
Oh.
But it made the big metal things make great cage matches and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think this is where I realised that we're probably of a similar age and a similar mindset. Because when you said the back of the tennis courts, I went, good for a cage, that.
Yeah. Oh, the best thing we had was when a school fight was on. And we used to play Royal Rumble in the bouncy castle. It was just see people just pushing 6-year-olds over the side of the walls and that, screaming for their lives and that. But yeah, if you ever get a chance to rent a bouncy castle, try playing Royal Rumble on it. It's brilliant.
The summer's around the corner, kids. Make that a thing. Yeah. When you rumbled at school, like, was it just a case of let's just have a fight at lunchtime, or was there divisions and titles and sort
of... No, we didn't have that. We had sort of like set up and that. Oh, he said this and that about you. You're gonna have to have a match against him. Sort of like, yeah, those little shit-stirring kids and stuff like that. And So right. Stuff like that. Yeah. So that's not. We didn't have fights in that after that. We just had wrestling matches and literally ended up me just sitting on them in the end. I'm hoping I have a loss.
I was going to say, because you seem to give out a lot of injury. Did you ever suffer a back?
School wrestling. We didn't know about taking hits and stuff like that. It wasn't about it. It was about hitting people and that and make sure they don't get back up.
Did you sustain any injuries yourself, though?
No, I got a slight concussion once from being headbutted, and that's about it, really.
Was that the nose headbutt? That
yeah. No, it was
heard
the one
around
before.
The world. Yeah.
I've seen the blood spray most of it around the world, but yeah. But yeah, that was it. Yeah.
That sounds like a lovely time, and I'm glad you're okay from it. I'm glad you're good.
Yes. You know, it's I still got the limp, but apart from that. But
What's interesting with like, I like talking to you because you are, like I say, you when we first set this up, you said, well, I've not watched it in ages, but I was a fan for a while.
I have. I mean, I absolutely loved wrestling back then. I think it's gotten a bit too corporate. Mm. I didn't like the Attitude Era where everybody just wore black underwear and use their real names. I thought that was a boring gimmick. I mean, WWF, you know, struck absolute gold with The Undertaker. He was like by far the best gimmick wrestler of all time, and everybody who's tried since has either tried to rip him off or just been a pale sort of comparison. So I think that's what I think Undertaker's probably responsible for all the shitty wrestlers in the new generation era. I mean, you had a Repo Man, you had a dentist, you had an Indian, you had a come out Baston Booger, you know, a fat bloke.
What's your gimmick? You're a fat bloke.
Yeah. What are you for? I'm a bin man. Okay. Duke the Dumpster Brucer, you know. What do you do? I carry a bin. Oh, okay. There you go. Did you get it from the prop department? No, we just found it around the back.
I love this. I love this story for that, because that was the story behind Duke the Dumpster is basically Vince McMahon deciding to put wrestling booking on hard mode, because he went, I'm going to, because every year they do like the top 500 wrestlers in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And in 95, Vince went, whoever's number 500, I'm going to hire him. I'm going to make him a star. And it was this guy who went on to be called Duke Drosty. And then Vince went, right, he's going to be a bin man. You're just like, you're deliberately setting this on hard mode for yourself, aren't you, Vince?
Vince, you looking out the window again while making these suggestions?
Yeah. Bin man or milkman?
Milkman, yeah. Oh, there's a post one down there as well. Look, I mean,
what's his gimmick? Man kissing my wife. What? Wait a minute.
That's so Brandy Savage.
Oh, she was mine before she was yours. But yeah, there's something to be said for like someone that drifted away during the hottest time in wrestling. Historically, yeah. As fans, like, we're in this bubble where we go, the Attitude Era was brilliant. So it's really nice to talk to someone like yourself who's like, nah, it just didn't. It didn't wash for me.
It didn't. No, I did sort of move away from it. I mean, I played the game still. So it's great fun to buy a new game and wondering who the fuck this person was in the front of the box.
Are you up to date with the game still?
No, I bought from a few years. I can't stand the WWE 2K games. I think they've just sapped the entire fun out of wrestling games. Really?
That's a common thing.
So formulaic, yeah. The last really, really good wrestling game I got into was WWE All-Stars.
Oh, nice.
That was an amazing game. I mean, they tried to rip it off with Rumble, what was it called? Battlegrounds. That was terrible. So I was like, just keep smashing the button until you win. But that was like, I mean, it was done by the guy who created Mortal Kombat, the last All-Stars on that. So I'm so gutted. And they closed down the servers as well, so you can't even play it anymore. So
it's one of them where they made it, they just went completely the other way with it. And I get why, as someone like yourself who loved the new generation era, the wild character era, that basically, it's essentially bashing wrestling figures together. That
it is. I mean, they're all super overpowered, sort of super muscular versions of themselves and stuff like that. And
you do a move and they go flying 400 feet into the air.
It's like a 500-foot spinning pole driver and stuff like that. And we were so good at the game, we used to break it. We used to break the game and that. You could climb outside the ring and cage matches and stuff like that, but just two of you doing a lot of special move over the top on the top rafters and stuff,
and it would break the game.
Yeah, and we'll do like double finishing moves and stuff like that, where you can like hold Andre the Giant had a punch, didn't he, for his finishing move, and then you can just spear someone midair just after they go flying from the punch, and then you can jump off the top turnbuckles as Ricky Steamboat and do something on them. So you could triple team finishing moves and mix it up. I don't think they ever intended the game to be like that, but you could sort of link up all this weird stuff in that. And like I say, you could climb up the ring by just doing if you're playing to edge, you get somebody to climb on top of the cage with you, and that you could just spear him off the top and things like that. So
just fun wrestling nonsense.
Just messing about, and it's just so much fun. It was the last arcade wrestling game for me, really.
I got really excited when I saw initially clips of the mobile game WWE Champions, because it had that similar look about it. And I went, okay. But then I realized it's fucking Bejeweled, isn't it? Like, oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Still, I thought I'd have been down for that, but I think Darkside Phil's got it covered. So,
oh, yeah. Did you see the latest news about him? They reckon he's spending about $1,000 a day on the game.
Oh, jeez. Even now, after he's been bankrupted.
I know. I don't know where he does it.
He carries himself like, I don't make any money. But like, oh my God, stop playing Champions and you're fine. Yeah. All your financial issues are over. Bloody hell, what a... Anyway.
I mean, I love Phil. He's like a quintessential comedy streamer character, isn't he? I mean, if you made a sitcom about somebody who streams for a living, it would be Darkside Phil.
There's a few out there that just keep on ticking over.
Wings of Redemption.
Wings of Redemption's another one. Mind you, has he been deplatformed from everything now?
I don't know. He has got a rather unique opinion on certain demographics, as you could say. Well, that's not very digestible by today's standards. Let's put it that.
I like how we've just become washer women talking about other YouTubers.
Well, it's great fun talking shit about other people.
It's handy, isn't it? It's handy, isn't it?
Just put a camera in front of us.
But you've seen enough of them, because I say you've been like, you were doing stuff on television, you were pitching mobile phone videos, and you've been sort of, you're kind of like the last of a generation for many.
You're an old bastard. Is that what you're polite way calling me that?
You are vintage.
Ah.
Vintage. I think
I like the... I'm a Madonna of wrestling. I'm not video games, really.
Oh, I like that.
I have to keep inventing myself every now and then.
Because I was going to ask you, like you mentioned being the Madonna. Oh, congratulations on that.
Even with creepy old grandma hands every now and then. She's like, look at my new face, looking like a 20-year-old. She pops her hat. She's like, when those like magical films and that, when they got the witch who has special powers to try and make them young by sapping up the, you know, and then sort of like reveal they're still old underneath and stuff like that. So that's what she's like.
And that's you, apparently.
Yes, as well, yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, just mine's, I just get my powers from random trivia, really.
away from sucking out the souls of trivia, what do you attribute to like your longevity in the sphere of retro gaming?
Basically, don't be racist.
Don't be a dickhead is what it is, isn't it?
Don't be an arsehole to people and that. I think you just need to treat people like how would you like to be treated yourself. That's one of the main things. If you start being a dick to people, they'll start being a dick to you, and that thing comes up and out. They'll tell their friends, oh, this guy's an arsehole. They'll start picking on you as well. So just being nice to everyone. There's no reason not to be, or there's not no reason to be horrible to anyone in life.
That's it. And that's a big part of it. That's a big part of why you've stuck around, isn't it? That you're not a dickhead.
No. Well, in public I'm not, but I'm very, very good at hiding the fact I'm a dickhead. But people slipping quite a bit lately, but.
Do you know what? We've been through a horrible couple of years, so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I haven't seen you talk about it so much, and I'd like to ask about it, because you even mentioned like as a kid you were like a larger Ultimate Warrior playing in the playground and stuff.
To
where you are now, like a lot of people will see pictures and go, wow, like a big transformation for you.
Yes.
What was the moment where you went, right, I'm going to sort of make some changes here? And what were some of the tips that you'd offer people going through something similar?
Probably having a stroke, probably done that. So
really?
Yeah. So that was like the main thing. Oh shit, what have I done? I mean, luckily it wasn't too bad. Just the side of my face was a bit numb for a couple of months. But I could figure it.
Do you know what caused it? And
probably blood pressure.
Yeah.
The blood pressure and that. So putting on weight and stuff like that. So that was a bit cool. And that, and I felt like having no energy as well. That's another thing. Getting up to go to the toilet and just being so tired, you have to go back to bed for another 3 hours. I mean, that's no way to live. You're just a prisoner in your own body, literally. So that's one of the main things. And I've been stuck in my life and now I want to get out and do stuff and that. So that's why I'm trying to learn to drive and things like that and go out and meet friends and people and stuff like that. So that's another reason why I want to lose weight because I got fed up not doing anything or having the energy to do it, being too tired and stuff. So
what were some of the life changes that you made that has been part of your journey?
It's literally most of it was down to cutting down on what you eat, really. I mean, people were saying, all you need to do is exercise. I didn't do any exercise. It's just literally just diet. Just consume less calories and then you burn.
But that's quite a difficult journey to start for most you become so reliant on food for emotional sustenance as well as physical sustenance.
The imminent threat of death is quite a good motivator, really, for you.
But I know people that have lost body parts to weight and they've gone, it's fine.
Yeah.
Still got two arms.
It was like one of two fat ladies, wasn't it? She was told she had lung cancer. She just pulled out a cigarette and started lying. Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, that's it. Because you go, there's two paths there that you go, bollocks. Or you go, okay, I should probably be less of this now.
Yeah.
I should be less me to live as me for longer.
No, I wanted more energy. I got fed up not having any energy. That's one of the main things as well. I mean, I put on weight as well. I need to lose it again. So I'm going to start. I'm starting on this week as well. So I'm going back on the diet again, Christmas stuff. Got a bit too. I think pizzas are my biggest vice.
Yeah.
I do love pizzas. So
will you not have any pizzas in January?
I probably won't have another pizza for a couple of months, hopefully.
Mm.
So.
Like a dry pizza January.
I don't think there's any pizza-related puns for any months, is there?
Pizzanuary is the best I can do you, mate. Pizzanuary sounds like you're going to eat nothing but pizza.
Yeah. No Pizzanuary.
No Pizzanuary. But that means you're not going to invite Peter around. But looking ahead, we've got another match to get to, but looking ahead for you, sir. So you've persevered through multiple generations of YouTube and the landscape, the platform has changed. There's so much push from other websites such as Instagram, TikTok is taking over as well. What do you see? How do you see yourself changing what you do and pivoting what you do in the next year or so?
Well, I'd like to do more shorter form videos. They get quite a lot of traction. Hmm. Basically, my Fact Hunt series is 5 short videos stuck together. So basically, I could split them up and get more money. So basically, yeah. So yeah, no, I think the one-off topics seem to be quite successful. So I'd like to do some more of that in the future. I'm doing one about an FPS. They had a great idea to charge you money for bullets in the game.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes. It only lasted 5 months for some reason. Can't imagine why. So, yeah.
What would, without giving too much of the script away, out of interest, what was the most that somebody spent on that game?
I don't know, but somebody apparently won $30,000 because basically half the money went to bullets and half the money went to a prize pool in the game. Or whoever got the most kills or most damage got the pot. And somebody got 30, but they didn't say how much money they put into it to get that 30 grand. So they could have been a massive whale for that, or they could have been bullshit. So, but yeah, that's the only thing I found from archive.org, going through their old website and stuff like that. But it's a free to play game, except you had to pay for bullets in the game.
Well, when you obviously the Fact Hunt videos, as you mentioned there, they're like 5 short videos. You could easily roll into one. They're beautifully scripted, intricately researched.
Well, Wikipedia has gone up in standards lately, hasn't it?
You do a great job of highlighting bits of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But where, what does a normal day look like for you right now? As somebody who's throwing themselves into this full time, what does a normal day work out as for you?
Basically looking at scripts. Well, it's researching, start trying to find old stuff. I do like looking at old gaming magazines because a lot of the information in those have never been put onto the internet, apart from magazine scans like archive.org, but a lot of the information has never been put on to the internet. That's why I like to cover subjects that nobody else has done on the internet.
And you did something the other day, actually. I think it might have even been on the day that we're chatting, where you'd found something that was in a magazine that was saying, hey, Sonic the Hedgehog, it's coming out for the Amiga.
Yeah. I love things like that. I love stuff like that. It's like the hindsight ones. I mean, there is a Dreamcast magazine where every single game they reviewed in it was cancelled.
Oh, my God. Well.
I'd love to do a video on that sometime. But, yeah, I'm trying to find the issue of it. But, yeah, like about 90% of the games were cancelled, they reviewed.
So will you spend, like, a big part of your day going through older video game magazines and making notes and
basically a lot of the time when I was doing a fact hunt, it was jotting down notes and then pinning them together into relative related games and subjects like that, and then putting them into a theme. the next video coming up is one on developers who wanted you to pirate their game as well. Right. So that took a while to research and stuff like that for people, you know, trying to find other multiple instances of that happening and that. And sometimes I'll sit on these scripts for years. I think the record now is about 12 years I've sat on a script. So
does it talk to you at night as if to go, come on, Larry?
Well, I lose interest sometimes. As soon as another one comes along, it sounds really interesting. So I get loads of that. And then I hit a brick wall. There's no more information and stuff like that. So I move on to somebody else. So I got all these half finished scripts in my collection. And it's quite fun going to them and think, oh, I only wrote a couple of notes in it and half the script's finished. So thank you, Past Larry, for doing half the work. And that I didn't realise I'd already done. So that's quite good. And then have to remove jokes that didn't work anymore. Like, oh, look, the Fine Brothers, they're arseholes, aren't they? I can't remove that. Nobody knows who the Fine Brothers are anymore.
Oh. But that must be quite nice to go back for a script that you've sat on for like 7 or 8 years and just see what the zeitgeist was at that time and how the references have changed so much.
Yes. It is. It's amazing how many famous people come and go and that and stuff like that.
And even just like platforms are like Peter Molyneux, who lasted as long in this as a tout. And oh, you go, oh.
I'm getting people in my videos saying, who's that bald guy Larry keeps making fun of in my video?
Don't tell me Peter Molyneux's going out of fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Thal never goes out of fashion.
Oh, I know. He's a joke that keeps on joking, so.
How often, and this will be the last question I ask about Fact Hunt, and we'll get into your third and final match, because I am intrigued because some of the titles for the Fact Hunt videos are so intricate. Do you start with a title and work backwards?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I mean, sometimes the topic changes when I get more of a different, the subject comes through and stuff like that. But you've got to get a bit clickbait to the old subjects as well. So they sound interesting as well. So, yeah, I mean, they come along and sort of trying to find something interesting to say.
Because you would have known for one you did recently, which was about errors in voiceovers and errors in video games.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so there would have been a few irons in the fire for that one. And then you would have added a few more to it as you'd sort of fleshed it out more.
Yes, basically. Yes.
So and that is, that's where you found the wonderful stuff in WWE, and that's where WWE had a
video. Yes, and they seem to claim they own the rights to the video game footage. Maybe because it's so realistic nowadays, they thought it was actually them.
That's most definitely us.
Yes.
It brings us neatly to our third and final match, Larry. What would you it to be?
Oh.
So we've had. I'll talk you through them. I'll count them down to buy you some time.
Oh, okay.
So we've had Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage from WrestleMania 7. An iconic but somewhat forgettable yet unforgettable moment where Ted DiBiase lost a match to a wimpy / jobber / enhancement talent on an episode of Superstars in the early 90s.
Cannon fodder, yeah.
Some cannon fodder.
WCW material. He's got an exciting career at ECW. Not ECW, oh, bloody CZW, isn't it? Where they go around smacking each other with lampposts.
That's like, the one.
I love CZW. I love CZW. I mean, it's so cheaply made. They sort of like Lego matches, don't they? And
that's it. There's a joy when there's a budget.
Yeah. And they're just going to go around hitting each other with weed whackers and stuff like that. This is brilliant. And I love the fact that if they botch a move, they keep doing it over and over because they get it right. So there's, there's some poor bastard got like powerbombed nearly three times because he kept getting it wrong, landing on his head and stuff like that. And,
hey, there's no retakes in wrestling. It was all planned, obviously. There's a few times where you see something like that happen, you go, just accept that the move hasn't panned out and move on with your life. It's fine.
No, just don't do it another three times until you get it right.
Are you going to pick a CZW for your last one?
I can't think of any unique matches for CZW. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single match in my head is just somebody hitting each other with a fluorescent bulb and stuff like that. That's what it is. And somebody Samu trying to do that chair shot thing he used to do. You know, he used to put a chair in the middle of the ring and jump off it and then botch it.
Do you want to put the concept of a CCW match in as your
the concept of it, that's all my if I talk about CZW, all my head is Sabu trying to do that chair thing in the ring where he just bounces off and jumps off the chair and splashes outside the ring and then fucks it up every single time, or somebody just getting hit over the head with a fluorescent bulb.
I think just to satisfy the desert island grabbed gods that are Easter Island statues that are on top of that volcanic mountain, we'll put the concept of a hardcore match as your third and final.
I mean, it's the WWF for safe hardcore matches. They got all these like pretend washers, pretend to be thumbtacks now. Unless it's got Mick Foley in the match, and it is a real hardcore match.
He'll insist on sometimes using like proper barbed wire as opposed to like the plastic tipped one, like you losers, you.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who can knock their teeth out through their nose is going to be pretty badass, isn't it?
Oh, that was the Hell in a Cell match, King of the Ring, and that close up of him with his tooth up his nose.
Everything, he's a bit of snot with his fucking molar.
Jeez, he looked like he'd had the crippler put on him.
Yeah. And I always remember he lost his ear, didn't he, in the WCW match because they insisted on using elevator cables for the ropes back then, and he got his head caught in one.
It was one of their matches in Germany, and he had to explain to the German doctor that he wanted to keep his ear, keep the bit of his ear. I think he was trying to ask people around him, what's the German word for formaldehyde? He's a lovely, cuddly Santa man now, but at one point he had his ear ripped off.
He'd make a great Santa, wouldn't he, actually?
He's a brilliant Santa. He dresses as Santa. I think every December he dyes his beard white. Like it's his thing now.
Less needing to do it nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is the time is a construct of human perception, but it's very sad.
Yeah.
Then it's on that lovely bombshell that we'll thank Guru Larry for making a trip to Cultaholic Island.
Oh, thank you very much. And having two wrestling matches.
Oh, two and a concept. I think that'll count. Oh. Honest to God, this has been one of the more fun, fast-paced ones that we've done. Honestly, I've done a lot of laughing and it's been a pleasure.
Immediately put me on the blacklist afterwards. Don't have him on again.
Oh, no. Come back whenever you like. It's been brilliant. if people are hearing your dulcet tones for the very first time, we will forgive them their trespass and we'll tell them where they can find you. Where can we find you, Larry?
You can find me on the internet. no, it's a website. I'm on a YouTube. I'm on YouTube.com/Larry. Because I've got one of them vanity addresses.
Ooh.
Yes. In the early days, YouTube, if you found somebody who had been banned, you could ask YouTube to take their YouTube name channel. So obviously somebody called Larry in the early days. I mean, there's far more popular Larrys on YouTube now, but I managed to sneak in and grab it before anyone else did,
Yeah, absolutely. I was the same when I got Tom Campbell on Twitter. I'm like, eat a dick, everybody. I'm Tom Campbell.
I didn't get Guru Larry, though. Somebody else grabbed that.
Oh, have they still got it?
We haven't used it since about 2012 or something. So, yeah.
Should we find them and go around and hit them with hammers?
I will do. Well, that's why they're not around anymore. I've already got beaten it to it.
Ah, you've already... You hit him with the crippler.
Yeah, they will give me the... Yeah, me and my two mates. Oh, bleeding gums.
Oh, is that his name now? Is he a jazz player? No. Guru Larry, it has been a pleasure to welcome you to Cultaholic Island. Do come again, sir.
Thank you very much. And again, that's why I became a wrestler in school, because his surname was Loveday, because his mother remarried and everybody took the piss out of
him. He didn't love that day. Let's put it that way.
Made him cry and his gums bleed, yeah.
I think that's a perfect place to end it.
Oh, thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.